Don't forget, you are the center of love. It emanates. Mwah.
Steamy Sonoma County. That is going to be a special event at Coffee Cats on August the 3rd. That's a Saturday between 6:30 and 8:30 there in Sebastopol. It says Hot August Nights, an erotic literary soiree. And I have two of the soireeers right here in the studio. We have the pink lady known as Remy, and we have Jenny Orvino. Oh, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Oh, very, very, very kind of you to come in and let us know about, steamy Sonoma County. Who knew? Is this, you're going to scratch the surface and see what happens in Sonoma County?
Yeah, we're thinking that maybe this will be the first of many. That's what we're hoping.
Excellent. And now, Remy, what's your background? How did you get to promulgate this event?
Well, that's a good question. It started quite a while ago. I saw that there was they were looking for submissions for an anthology of true life stories of first lesbian experiences. And I thought, well, I have one of those. And, and it's a pretty good story. And so I wrote, this was late 90s, I think 1998, 99. And so I submitted a story. And then it was meant to be erotic. So this was a first time story and an erotic sexual experience, first lesbian experience. And it was accepted. And from then on, I ended up getting a master's degree in sexuality education. I'm a sex educator. And I was at a professional sexuality conference, and I met a wonderful woman who's a sexologist named Susanna Mayer. And at the time, this was about 5 years ago, she was just getting ready to start an erotic literary salon in Philadelphia. And I mentioned to her that years ago I had this story in an anthology, and she says, oh, come. And I'm originally from Philly, so she says, next time you're in town, come and you can read the story. So I did. It was a wonderful experience. And now her salon has been going strong. She's been doing it for 5 years. Wow. She does it once a month. I certainly advise, if you're ever in Philly, look it up. It's the third Tuesday of the month. You can go to theeroticsalon.com if you want more information. So I've stayed in touch with her over the years, and then a couple of years ago, I started writing for Good Vibrations online magazine, and I was writing for their Sexy Mama blog on parenting issues around sexuality and sex education. And I saw, of course, that they also have erotica on there, and I thought, oh, I can do that. I should do that again. That was so much fun. So had many stories been going around in my head for years, and I put some of them down and submitted them, and then I created the Pink Lady handle, okay, because I just wanted to distinguish a little bit between my writing for the parenting blog on the same site. And then I had kept in touch with Suzanne, and I said I'd love to come back and read again, and I was going to be in town, so I did, and that was just last March. And it was such an incredible experience that I thought, I can't wait until my next trip to Philadelphia to do this again. I need to make this happen here. And I had thought about it for a little while, that I think it's something that there would be interest here. And around the same time, I met Justine Michaels, who I know has been on your show, yes, Arnaldo, before. And I found out that she wrote this book called The Cock Chronicles, and I talked to her about my idea. And I had also, several years ago, taken a class, low-fat fiction, from Guy Biederman, who's a great teacher, and look up his classes. He teaches in Sausalito and Sebastopol. And I contacted him about the idea because I thought, well, I think this is a good idea, but I kind of wanted to make sure that there were also maybe some literary folk in town who thought it was a good idea and not just create this all by myself. And he did, and he was very responsive. And so that kind of gave me the confidence that, okay, I think some people might be interested in this, because I needed to be sure that I could find readers also. Right. Not just people are going to come and listen, but readers. And so then I started creating it, and Guy helped me come up with the title and everything, and put it on Facebook, and then all these wonderful people came out of the woodwork, and that's how I met Jenny Orvino, and all the other people who are joining us, Bill Noble, Ruth Poppy.
Oh, Joan Price.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Joan, I already knew. Yes, okay. I have to mention Joan. She's incredible. And I knew her because we're both sex educators. Mm. And she's an incredible local resource that we have here. And yes, so I had invited her. I said, would you come? And she's done this incredible anthology. She's not written for the anthology. It's Ageless Erotica. So she's put together erotica stories from people, from seniors. So she's going to be a part of it. And then Ray, I knew, who's a great magician.
Yes,
so
like
it just
Ray.
All has really come together. And so I'm excited.
Beautiful. And yeah. Debbie got you going at Coffee Cats.
Yes.
Yeah. Lovely. And Jenny, obviously, you've I heard your interview last year with Lolly on Cows, and that was launching your last book, wasn't it?
Yes, I have a book called Poetry, Politics, and Passion, and it's a collection of essays, some of which are about sexuality, and some poems, and then a memoir of the 60s. Mm. So that's where the politics come in. But about 2002, I made a spoken word CD. My CD called Make Love, Not War. And I actually did a CD release party at Coffee Cats, the same venue where we're having this event, and did a reading that night. And I had a band with me. And so this, it's not just spoken word, but I have musicians working with me on the CD. And so it's an interesting marketing sell, Make Love, Not War, because... Yeah. The political poems were too political for the erotica crowd, and the erotic poems were too erotic for the political crowd. So it was a little difficult to market this, but I have been successful anyway. I only have a couple hundred left under my bed at home. So that's a little bit of my background, but I've been writing poetry for a long time. And I think I started writing erotica because I wasn't satisfied with what I was reading that I felt was, because I'm a feminist, I felt like it was too exploitative. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, if I think that the erotica that I'm reading or seeing is not satisfactory or doesn't turn me on or even turns me off, I should just write it myself.
Yeah.
And so that's what got me started writing.
Interesting. Now, that's a good point, isn't it? How you look at erotica in terms of, you know, what level it is and how people perceive it when you write it.
It's a good question.
Yeah, that's,
I remember reading somewhere that the author Dorothy Allison said something like, the difference between pornography and erotica is class. And I think about that sometimes. I mean, I think part of it is, when we say erotica, that sort of has a certain level of, like, you could almost talk about that at the dinner table, you know, and say, oh, yes, I'm going to an erotica reading. Isn't that, you know, but you wouldn't say, oh, I was just enjoying some porn last night, you know, at the dinner table probably, or in polite company. So I think part of it is our perception of what it is. And some people may write what some would call erotica and they want to call it porn. They say, well, I wrote this so somebody could read it and jack off to it, basically get turned on. Yeah. But it could, does that mean it doesn't have literary merit? I mean, who gets to decide that? So I think it's a question that we could probably debate and spend a lot of time talking about. But I think it's, I kind of leave it to people to define for themselves whether they want to call something pornography or erotica and really what that means to them. I mean, I personally like something that I feel like has literary merit, not because I'm, well, hopefully not because I'm a snob about it. That's how it sounds. But because I just, if there's a good character, then I care.
Yeah.
You know, and then I care if they're going to get together and get it on or not. Then it has some meaning to me as well. And for me, that just works as more of a turn on as well. So that's...
Yeah, so it links that, the emotional side with the sex.
Exactly, so yeah. Yeah, so it's not that, because I'm only read the highest literature. It's just because, well, if I feel like those characters mean something to me, then I'm going to care what happens to them.
Well, I think you've got a couple of things to read, so I just want to warn everyone, kids, put your hands over Grandma's ears, okay? There's going to be some fun, you know, there's going to be some...
No bad words. I looked up the 7 dirty words you can't say on the radio, so we're not going to say any bad words.
Indeed. This is erotica. And
but we might get you turned on, so just a warning. You know.
Remember, the mind is the thing. It's the all in the mind.
The biggest sex organ is the brain, right. Correct?
Or the most important.
Oh, the most important.
Okay, so I'm actually going to read something by Bill Noble, who's one of the readers who is going to be at Hot August Nights. And Bill is a writer of literary erotica, poet, longtime fiction editor at Clean Sheets. And this poem is called A Small Poem About Tenderness. Tonight, I would be the provider of solace, the caregiver, in the face of all that had afflicted you this day. But when you took me fully in your mouth, small, yielding, your encompassing warmth and sweetness, without urgency or agenda, every door opened. Every hurt and hesitation was healed. I gave myself up to you, and you gave me myself, whole and at peace. Would you like to be inside? You asked, looking up from your giving. And in a moment, you were above me, radiant, wordless, emptied of urgency and injury. And this thoughtless joy rose in my bones, this joy conceived in love, refracted in your eyes, easy as breath. Each day, each unfolding night, may we come to each other healed, jubilant, and patient. Each day of all the days we may be graced with, may no hurt ever be stronger than the simplest act of love. May touch redeem us. So that was actually the poem that Bill sent to me on Facebook to see if he could be a part of it. And I was so moved. I said, please, please, that is the most beautiful blowjob moment I've ever witnessed on paper. I just thought it was beautiful.
Very sweet, very, very touching, yes.
Yeah, very tender.
Yeah.
Shall I read something?
Yes, Jenny.
And now for something different.
A little bit different. I use the empty foil condom packet for a bookmark, a memento of the way he tears it open with his teeth when he's poised over me and the heat wavers between us like air above desert blacktop. When rasping crows wake me up early, I watch him. Long hair in disarray and arms around the folded pillow, his sleeping entertainment enough. I won't erase his phone message from a year ago, the one that says he needs me, so at any hour I can listen to his voice. At my bedside, I've hung his blown-up photo. When he comes to see me, I take it down and hide it in my dresser drawer. He entered me like a thief who knew exactly where the good silver was kept. The first time, in the middle of our loving, I asked him, "What's your name?" And he had to say it twice. Now I know precisely the angle of his jaw, how it meets the side of his neck at that place I lathered and pulled the razor through. As an animal rolls over to surrender its throat, he lets me sink my teeth.
Mm. Lovely. Well, it's so interesting, erotica, I mean, it's... With sex, anyway, all rules go out the window, don't they? Mm-hmm. All normal life and rules go out the window. It's must be fun writing it. You know, do you, when you start to write something, do you see where it's going, or is it something that just develops as you write? Do you see the erotic ending, or?
You can go first.
To tell you the truth, a lot of what I write about is based on experience, and so it's a way of, I think, reliving something, and, you know, maybe making it have an ending differently than the way it was in real life, or maybe not. But sometimes you are so moved, and I think this is true with any, I'm talking about poetry now, that you are so moved by something that you write a song or you write a poem. And I think because sexual experience is so profound, I mean, it's like the core of who we are, I feel, and it's the part of us that makes us like the creator, you know. It's how humans create. If you're not creating a child, you're creating a relationship that is like another being, in a sense. So to me, it is a very profound act. And so to be able to find words or metaphors, the things that poetry gives you that you don't have otherwise, that's where my motivation comes from to write about erotica, is by having something very profound. And also the part about reliving it and, you know, having this. And I figure, well, if I'm getting all sweaty when I'm writing this, hopefully if somebody else reads it, they're going to have the same experience.
Yeah, I think similar for me too. I mean, some based on reality, but kind of like a mix of reality and fantasy, and maybe changing characters around a bit or mixing up different experiences to create one story. But coming, you know, somehow from my life experience or my life experience in my own mind. Anyway,
that's right.
My fantasy.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
Right.
I think for me, something that I've wanted, I don't know that I've done it yet, but would like to capture in words, is just sexual tension. So not even just the actual act of sex, you know, being written about and described in a way that's beautiful and interesting to read, but I think just about that, those moments when you realize with someone that there is that electricity, that energy between you and someone else, and really what does that feel like? Those moments of like something might happen, you know, we'd like something to happen. You know, I think you know that I know, and I, even if it's never been said, you know, even if it's not with words, but that there's this, those moments, I think I would always just found them very powerful and profound for me, so would like to be able to try to capture that in words. I guess sexual tension, really, kind of what it is, but that I feel like is just out there in the world. Right. If you're in tune with it, it can be an extremely intense experience. So,
yeah, everyone perks their ears up at anything sexual, really. Let's admit it, you know. But no, it's interesting. Metaphor. Now, a lot of poetry in the normal world is obviously there's a lot of metaphor because they couldn't say specific things and had to work around it. So, was it difficult to break through that barrier of metaphor and just say, okay, this is what it is? Or did you just run right through?
I like to have a nice blend of both. You know, and I could give you an example on something I'd love to read a little bit later that has, I think, a mix of being very specific and plain about what's happening and also going into a more poetic realm. But there is some value, I think, and excitement in actually saying words that are not usually said and giving them a new context.
Right.
Because I have a poem where I talk about words they gave us, and some of these words that you see chalked on the bathroom walls and stuff have never been words that were very exciting to me, and in fact they had been used toward me as an insult. And so I would like somebody to refer to my body parts as anemone of Venus. I'm trying to think of some of the poetic names that the
bird of paradise,
whatever it may be, you know, that some of those things do not touch me more than some of the more crude words. I don't know. Either way.
Yeah, well, I think for me, I mean, just writing for the Good Vibes website, I didn't feel like I had to censor or use metaphor or anything like that. I think I was just looking to be pretty direct.
Yeah.
I think so. But I hope that, you know, as I get more experience writing, that I feel like that's something that I could, you know, easily move back and forth between both. And
Now, the rules on blogging, can you basically write anything. You don't like, not like radio where you have to censor. You can say any word, basically. Is that correct?
I couldn't say 100%, but I'm pretty sure you can write just about anything. I think so. I mean, if you look on the internet and see what's on there, it doesn't look like, I'm pretty sure nobody's censoring that.
Yeah.
No, not yet. Hopefully not.
So, well, let's get back to some eroticism. And who would like to,
okay.
Remy?
Sure, I'll start. So I'm going to read a little excerpt from a story that I wrote that may be the one I'll be presenting or not. So this will just be a little tease for those of you who are going to come to the event. So this story, just to give you the background, takes place in a pharmacy late at night, or a drugstore, rather, I should say. But yeah, I guess you could call it, like a Walgreens or something. You use your imagination. Late at night. And let's see. Peter has gone in and he is shopping, and he happens to be shopping at this moment for some lubricant. Okay, so you can see where this is going. Yes,
that and
Wendy.
Well.
Wendy is the clerk who is working at the moment, and the manager has stepped out. Just so you know, so just the two of them in the store. Can I help you? Wendy purred. Peter looked at her and hesitated, trying to think of something clever to say. He fumbled for a moment. I'm looking for a lube that's all natural, he finally said, thinking that wasn't particularly clever. Hmm, she said, running her fingers along the edge of the shelf. Let me see. She pulled one off the shelf. Well, this one has parabens. She put it back and then got down on her knees and began checking the labels of the lubes. This one is my favorite. She smiled up at Peter as she took a baby blue box from the shelf and turned it slowly in her hand. Holy crap, Peter thought as he looked down at Wendy's pretty face smiling up at him. Is this really happening? He glanced nervously around for a second before fixing his eyes back on Wendy. From this angle, he could see the hint of a white lace bra cupping the bottom of her full breast, or the top, rather, of her full breast inside her shirt. He could feel his heart start to race as the blood rushed inside his cock. Say something, he told himself, anything. Why is it your favorite, he asked, as the bulge in his jeans became undeniable. Wendy slowly opened the box and handed Peter the small aqua blue bottle that was inside. Her hand brushed the front of his pants. He took the lube from her hand, aware of his sweaty palms. Well, she started, it's slippery but not sticky. She hesitated and bit her lower lip and grinned up at him for a smoother touch. Is that all? Peter asked, feeling more confident. No, I also like it because it stays wet for a long time. Wendy let the word long linger. And what else? It tastes good, she said as she stared into Peter's dark eyes. He turned the bottle in his hand. It was the first time she noticed how elegant his hands were. His erection was pushing hard through his pants, and he reached down and rubbed it with his free hand, keeping his eyes fixed on hers. Wendy stared at the bulge in his pants and then directly into his eyes as she began to slowly unbutton her shirt, revealing her lace-covered breasts. Peter glanced over the aisles. No one else was in the store, but anyone could walk in at any moment. Apparently, Wendy didn't care, so why should he? Why don't you show me, he said, and unzipped his jeans, freeing his hard cock and handing her the aqua blue bottle. If you want to hear the rest, join us Saturday, August 3rd for Hot August Nights and find out what happens. And find out what happens when the assistant manager comes back in.
Ah, more intrigue. I love it.
And if I can just say something about that, that did not happen to me, but no. But it did. So I thought of that because I have a friend. I have a friend who told me a story of being in a pharmacy. It wasn't the middle of the night, but looking at lubricants, and the woman who was working there started coming and to help him and talk to him about it. And he built up this whole fantasy. He ended up going back to the pharmacy several times, hoping that something was going to happen, or it turned into something in his mind. And I thought, oh wow, what a great story. I thought, well, I'm just going to make it really over the top, and like let's make the just kind of how things in porn often are like really. Really, does that happen? Right. And I thought, well, yeah, sometimes these things really do happen, actually. But if you read the whole story, there's a bit more of a a little bit of character development that shows why would this actually happen? You know,
you're socially redeeming. It's a yes. socially redeeming value.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She's an art history major. It's very complex. You'll see. But anyway, yeah. It was really fun to write it. So, and it was just kind of came off this little conversation with a friend of like, you know, that he had built this fantasy in his mind that something might happen, but.
Well, that's interesting, you know, the difference between a man and a woman writing the erotica. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it that different? Can you tell the difference?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah. Or between a straight person or a gay person, too, you know, sometimes. I mean, there could just be so many different perspectives.
Right.
I feel like, it's a tough one to answer. I mean, it can just be so personal. I think people could be fooled sometimes. I think there are things that a man could write that someone would go, oh, I thought, you know, that if a man could write it from a woman's perspective and someone could, I mean, if it's a really good writer, clearly, obviously, you know, some incredible writers write characters that are not nothing like them, whether it's gender, race,
absolutely,
time of place or whatever. So I think, you know, a good writer can really get into a character's head and
transcend the
you wouldn't necessarily know that, you know, it wasn't about them.
Jenny?
So, okay, I'll read just a little section from what I call an erotic vignette. Lying on his stomach between my legs, he looks at me, backs up, and looks again, like a painter observing a still life to capture color and line, the play of light and shadow. He talks to himself about the beauty he sees. Then he goes to work, smoothing me out, dividing my petals. His mouth fixes on a tiny spot, maybe at the opening just under the hood of my clit, or on top where it starts to swell. He flicks his tongue while sucking with his lips to make a perfect seal. The sensations curl around the edges like lace, and in the center where he is focused, there is a subtle pulsing. Anchored in that pinpoint beat, I sigh a host of melodies. He responds by licking a huge swath up and up. I squeeze his head with my thighs, pull him by his hair closer. Then I rock my pelvis back and forth, painting his face with my essence. The faster I move, the brighter and more liquid I become. He puts his fingers in and presses up behind my pubic bone on that firm place in the bed of spongy tissue we call the sacred spot. I feel a searing like being branded inside. He is writing magic runes on my interior walls. His whole hand is reaching. His fist becomes enveloped in a deep cache of tears, prodded. They flow. I am not afraid of anything. So loosened, so free. Perfume is all around me. The poetry of the ancients is in my ears. As for me, my vulva, for me, the piled high hillock, me, the maid, who will plow it for me? The watered ground, for me, me, the queen, who will station the ox there?
Thank you. Lovely.
So that's metaphor.
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah, there's so many ways to do it, isn't there? Yeah. Now, have you? Is this the first one? This first literary soiree you've done?
This is the first one that we'll be doing.
Okay.
So. We're hoping that it's a success and that even more readers will come out of the woodwork and more people interested just to come out and hear people reading as well.
You know, Arnaldo, I used to do erotic salons in my home. For a couple of years, I did what we called, you know, evenings of aphrodisiac potluck and poetry. And I would send out an invitation, and I would say, okay, your entry to this event is that you bring a dish that is either, well, you know, Elizabeth Allende has a wonderful book about erotic recipes, and there are many, but I would make suggestions to people of things that they could bring, like something made with almonds, because almonds are supposed to excite women, and that's why they use almond oil and soap and cosmetics. And, of course, apple, you know, the connection with tempting Eve. Banana, obviously, about the shape. Figs, same thing. Mangoes, peaches, apricots, things that are connected with things in literature. Honey, chocolate, of course, champagne, caviar and iced vodka. I mean, I made many suggestions.
Oysters, yeah.
Oysters, exactly. And so people would either bring something like that or make something in a shape that was erotic. And then we would do a reading. And it was a wonderful evening. And sometimes we would even have an art exhibit along with it. So this is not exactly a new thing for me, but it's new in terms of this is a more public event that was privately invited. But still, it's a wonderful, I would, you know, recommend everyone have an aphrodisiac potluck.
It sounds good.
For your next birthday party.
Yeah. I think I was telling on the way over here, I was telling Jenny that I think she may have to bring those back because I would like to attend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that great a cook, but I can figure something.
Well, we'll come to your house. My house is kind of small.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, my house is a little small, but we'll come to your house and do it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Well, you know, that's obviously with sex, there's, you know, man and women, 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 men and men. But often there's like devices or food or other things can come between people. Do you like to write about that?
I actually, if I can read, can I read something else?
Sure.
Because it made me think of it. This involves fruit.
Okay.
So since you mentioned it, fruit and sex at the same time. This is from Zami, A New Spelling of My Name, a book by Audre Lorde, who is an incredible author and someone who I greatly admire. We bought red delicious pippins, the size of French cashew apples. There were green plantains, which we half-peeled and then planted, fruit deep, in each other's bodies, until the petals of skin lay like tendrils of broad green fire upon the curly darkness between our upspread thighs. There were ripe red finger bananas, stubby and sweet, with which I parted your lips gently to insert the peeled fruit into your great purple flower. I held you, lay between your brown legs, slowly playing my tongue through your familiar forests, slowly licking and swallowing as the deep undulations and tidal motions of your strong body slowly mashed ripe banana into a beige cream that mixed with the juices of your electric flesh. Our bodies met again, each surface touched with each other's flame, from the tips of our curled toes to our tongues, and locked into our own wild rhythms, we rode each other across the thundering space, dripped like light from the peak of each other's tongue. We were each of us both together, then we were apart, and sweat sheened our bodies like sweet oil.
Yeah.
And it's such an amazing book anyway, to me, to, you know, be able to write like she writes and then have, you know, the scenes of the sex scenes just, you know, it just flows, just be part of it, but also be so beautifully written and so meaningful, you know, if you read the whole book and you know her. She calls it a biomythography, so.
Oh, I wanted to say something else.
Oh,
you were talking about devices.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and I Good Vibrations actually put out a couple of anthologies called Sex Toy Tales, and so there are, people do have many stories, and usually it's a story, not necessarily a poem, but stories about AIDS, you know, sex toys,
right.
Basically. And they make really a great subject for literature, I think.
Beautiful, yeah.
Well, I would agree.
Well, Good Vibrations has been doing an amazing job for so many years. Has really helped so many people. Do you read, in terms of erotica or pornography, did you read before you started writing yourselves, or who did you read?
Yeah, do you want to go first?
Well, you know, every good teacher of writing that I've ever had says that a good writer, a good poet must read poetry, a good writer must read, and you must read other writers. Mm. And just so you learn, really, to see what effective writing is. And so I read many, many anthologies of erotic writing, and there used to be a magazine called Yellow Silk, which I really enjoyed.
I was just going to say, Yellow Silk. One of those anthologies.
You know, and that was like the supposed to be the highest of literary erotica. Yes. I don't think they had any words in there that you would have to even bleep out. You know, it was really beautifully produced. So that was, I think, my beginning. Mm. Online Clean Sheets is another excellent location for good quality erotica, cleansheets.com. And of course, just for example, reading someone like Audre Lorde, who's just died of breast cancer, I believe.
Yes.
She, great writers do well with erotica too. And so it's not like you just always have to seek out erotica. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Ladies Home Erotica, I have a whole shelf of, because there are many fine erotica anthologies, just I think especially in the last 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. And so I have, and there's much more now than even 10 or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I, too, had a Yellow Silk anthology that I got a hold of somewhere and just read from cover to cover and thought was incredible. But also just looking at, you know, again, like with Audre Lorde or any, you know,
Susie
book that
Bright.
I read that I, yeah as well. Look for those, or you know, when if a sex scene came up, then just I don't know, find myself being really touched by it.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? We're not islands. It's all coming in and it's going out, so it all gets changed as it's flowing. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of it, isn't it? But they are writing wonderful erotica. As never before. And we have Jenny Ovino and we have Remy, the Pink Lady, here in the studio. And they've been reading some of the erotica that will be on display at Coffee Cats on August the 3rd. And why don't you give a little recap about what's happening on August the 3rd?
Sure. It's Hot August Nights and a literary erotic soiree. So there will be local authors reading erotic stories and poems, their own erotic stories and poems. And it's an over 18 event. Only $10. It's going to be a lot of fun, super exciting, titillating. It's at Coffee Cats at 6761 Sebastopol Avenue, Saturday, and that's in Sebastopol, Saturday, August 3rd from 6:30 to 8:30. We have, if you want more information, you can email us at steamysonomacounty@gmail.com or look up for us on Facebook. Just do a search for Steamy Sonoma County and please like our page. And please come and join us.
We love
it. Click like and then love it. Yeah. So I'm going to do a little reading now from one of our authors who's going to be featured there, Justine Michaels, who's also been on your show before. So she's the author of The Cock Chronicles. I'm just going to read two short poems that I really enjoy of hers. So the first is called The Memory of His Hand. My skin does not respond to my own hand, but nipples jump at the memory of his hand. My thighs are placid to my own touch, but quiver at the memory of his body pressing into mine. When did this man, how did this man, slip from between my legs into my mind?
Nice.
That one,
nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. I like that.
Okay, and here's another one. This is called Fisherman. One might wish to keep a fisherman nearby, a man who knows his life is one mistake away from over, but maybe not today. A man whose life's so cold and wet, he craves a harbor wet and warm.
Yeah.
I just love that image.
Yes.
Yeah. And I haven't met any fishermen lately, but the next one I meet, I'm just going to wonder, you know, about that. How much are you craving a harbor wet and warm? I love that image.
Very nice.
So, do you Do we have time?
Yes, yeah, please, yes.
Okay. I'd like to read one of my favorite poems, from Dorianne Locks, who used to live here, and now she lives in Portland and teaches in Portland. But this was published in From Porn to Poetry, Clean Sheets Celebrates the Erotic Mind. And what I love about this poem is that there's just more to it than what is happening right at the moment in the scene. And to me, it's what makes poetry great, is just because there are so many layers to it. So it's called The Lovers by Dorianne Locks. She is about to come. This time they are sitting up, joined below the belly, feet cupped like sleek hands praying at the base of each other's spines. And when something lifts within her toward a light, she's sure once again she can't bear. She opens her eyes and sees his face is turned away, one arm behind him, hand splayed, palm down on the mattress to brace himself so he can lever his hips, touch with the brightest tip the innermost spot. And she finds she can't bear it, not his beautiful neck stretched and corded, not his hair fallen to one side like beach grass, not the curved wing of his ear washed thin with daylight, deep pink of the inner body. What she can't bear is that she can't see his face, and that she thinks this exactly. She is rocking and breathing. It's more her body's thought, opening as it is to its own sheer truth. So that when her hand lifts of its own volition and slaps him twice on the chest, on that pad of muscled flesh just above the nipple, slaps him twice, fast, like a nursing child trying to get a mother's attention, she's startled by the sound. Though when he turns his face to hers, which is what her body wants, his eyes pulled open as if she had bitten, she does reach out and bite him on the shoulder, not hard, but with the power infants have over those who have borne them, tied as they are to the body, and so tied to pleasure, the exquisite pain of this world. And when she lifts her face, he sees where she's gone, knows she can't speak, is traveling towards something essential, toward the core of her need. So he simply watches steadily with an animal calm as she arches and screams, watches the face that, if she could see it, she would never let him see.
Yeah. Beautiful. Who is that by again?
Dorianne Locks, L-A-U-X. Mm. Definitely beautiful. A recommended poet. She's a wonderful teacher and a wonderful writer.
Well, the time has gone quickly, and that's what does, I suppose, with erotica. Time is, you lose track of time, as it should be. Well, thank you so much, Jenny and Remy, for coming in to give us the lowdown, so to speak, on happening on August the 3rd.
We hope people will join us. It's going to be fun.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting us, Arnoldo.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and I hope it goes well, and I hope you have many more. I'll be happy to do it again so we can keep it going.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You are the center of your little world, and I am of mine. Now and again we meet for tea, we're two of a kind. This is our universe, cups of tea. We have a beautiful cosmos, you and me. We have a beautiful cosmos. What do we talk of whenever we meet? Nothing at all. You you sit with a sandwich, I look at a roll. Sometimes I open my mouth, then shut it. We have a beautiful cosmos, you and me. We have a beautiful cosmos. You are the center of your little world, and I am of mine. Now and again we meet for tea, we're two of a kind. This is our universe, cups of tea. We have a beautiful cosmos, you and me. We have a beautiful cosmos.